Hey, Laurie.
Great to be back with you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Can I want to talk about lots of these games, but most notably San Francisco 49ers. So had the loss first up, and then they go and lose Trey Lance early on. That decision to hang on to Jimmy G seems to be paying dividends very early on. What was your take on it?
No, paying dividends, but also so unlikely that we landed here. I think the timing of Jimmy G's off-season surgery, the questions around his contract, his time away from the team, his time back with the team on the sideline doing nothing, it all made it so murky that the trade market that we thought would eventuate for Jimmy G just never really you know, fostered and came forth like we expected. A lot of teams settled for different options, and look, the 49ers are going to be very happy with what they've got in their stable right now, because for Trey Lance, it's a nasty ankle injury. It is that horrific break that we see. You know, people immediately start to think about Dak Prescott and what he went through, so it should be, it's all likelihood it's curtains on the season for Trey Lance. As for Jimmy G, he steps into a pretty loaded team. They're not the strongest offensive line he would have played in front of, and they have lost their starting running back Elijah Mitchell for about half the season. But Jeff Wilson stepping into the backfield, leading the carries there and deputizing pretty well. And there's plenty of talent in the wide receiver room with Brandon Ayuk and, of course, Debo Samuel, who everybody knows. And the defensive front is plenty nasty and got after that Seahawks front. So, look, the 49ers can still consider themselves a team that's going to be in the mix for the playoffs. It's just taking a very different route. I think it'll be a different offense. It won't be as downfield. We won't be seeing the big arm of Trey Lance firing downfield. You know, how accurate it was, that's up for debate.
Yeah.
We will see perhaps Jimmy Garoppolo more that fit with Debo Samuel and some of that short area stuff coming into the fray. But, you know, Jimmy steps in, and the 49ers, look, it's an awful thing to lose a franchise quarterback, one who's got so, or the supposed franchise quarterback, one who's got such little recent football. He's barely played football in about three seasons now, when you combine what happened in college with COVID. And sitting for his first season for the majority of his rookie campaign. So a very odd situation, but the 49ers are luckily more adept to handle it than most.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Dak Prescott. He's obviously out for the Cowboys this game. Maybe a surprise win for them at home. They're now 1-1, but the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow are 0-2. What's happening with the Super Bowl team of last year, Laurie?
Well, I think you can look at the defense and say, is it performing as a cohesive? It wasn't the most star-studded defense last year, but it was so cohesive. It was all effort all the time, and it was certainly greater than the sum of their parts, and perhaps that's not hitting at that same level. Defense in the NFL, for those that don't know, it's really hard to kind of maintain defensive consistency in the NFL. It tends to be something that jumps up and down quite with quite a lot of volatility. And then the offensive line, it looked like they had invested. They had applied assets to the offensive line to protect Joe Burrow, to allow that offense to be a little more on schedule, not see him get hammered into the ground over and over again. But the investments, so that's Lyle Collins on the right tackle side. Left tackle Jonah Williams hasn't taken the step forward that we thought as two of those pillars. And inside, it's been a bit of a mess, and the Cowboys made him pay. I mean, six sacks on Joe Burrow is not what the Bengals' brains trust want to see. This was Cooper Rush was fine for the Cowboys. Hit some nice downfield passes, got CeeDee Lamb more active than we saw in the season opener. Noah Brown getting his first touchdown of his almost eight-year NFL career.
Wow.
But this one was defense. The Cowboys' defense, Micah Parsons leading from the front with a couple of sacks. He's got four through two games. And Trayvon Diggs, who had 1,000 interceptions last year, and there was a lot of attention on him over the offseason, coming up with a huge tackle, a defensive stop late in that one to get the ball back in Cowboys' hands, and Brett Maher slots one from deep from about 50 out to give them, a surprising victory. And this is buying time until Dak Prescott hopefully comes back for the Cowboys in somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks.
A couple of big comebacks. The Cardinals got it done in overtime against the Raiders, so Kyler Murray starring there, but Lamar Jackson didn't quite get the result that he was looking for, given what's going on with his contract negotiations. And the comeback from the Dolphins, incredible. They win 42-38.
All right, let's start with the Dolphins there. Tua Tagovailoa's got a few interceptions on the board early. He ends up with six touchdowns.
Whoa.
A couple of big, deep shots to Tyreek Hill. A few jokes there that, you know, he doesn't have the arm of Patrick Mahomes, and did Tyreek Hill have to wait and slow down a little under some of those deep balls? Yeah, maybe a little bit, but Tua playing with that anticipation, the intelligence, the timing that we know him with, and this is a case of design working. The brains trust in Miami under a new staff down there, Mike McDaniel's offense, They've surrounded him with speed, 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 and more speed. And they're saying, right, the line will be a little bit better. Get it out quick. Give the guys the ability to catch the ball and run after the catch, and let's see what this thing does. And it's completely opened up. Look, you mentioned Lamar Jackson's contract. No. A loss here. They're 1-1 to start the season. Blowing a big 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. Not ideal, but from his individual standpoint, I mean, he completes, you know, 70-odd% of his passes. He's over 300 yards. He's got three touchdowns, and he goes for 100, almost 120 yards on the ground, including a 79-yard touchdown run. Not much more he could have done.
Yeah.
But a thrilling game there. And look, if you want to know about what happened with the Arizona Cardinals up against the Raiders, go have a look. One play will sum it up, and that was a 2-point conversion as the Cardinals were trying to mount a comeback there. The Kyler Murray, a 2-point conversion is from the 2-yard line. ESPN Stats and Info have it that Kyler Murray ran an approximate 85.69 yards on a 2-point conversion. So to go 2 yards forward, he scampered around and ran around the schoolyard. Pure schoolyard football stuff. Great to see. Very entertaining. For almost, well, that's over, what, almost 80 metres that he scampered there.
Wow.
So that really sums up how the comeback played out. This was, look, this isn't working. Let's hand it over to Kyler. Let's let him play. Hand the reins over. Let him create, which is... quite frankly, what has been some of the more productive stuff in this Cliff Kingsbury era down in the desert.
Oh, wow. Okay, I've got to check that out. I haven't seen that. Mate, we're done for time. Stu from Cronulla, big Colts fan, just sent a 3-worded text message. Colts sucked today. So 24-0 against the Jags, which you'll have to wallow in that for another week. Hey, Laurie, we've got to fly. Love chatting NFL with you, mate. Look forward to doing it over the course of the season.
Absolutely. Hopefully for your fan there, the Colts show a little bit more. But no, he summed it up quite well with that 3-word summation.
Yeah, absolutely. There he is, Laurie Horish from ESPN, our NFL reporter here in Australia. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.